Go ahead and speak.
Hold on one moment. Our speaker's deciding not to work again. Ms. Marsh, can you try again, please?
Yes, Ann Marsh, 4628 Pine Cone Drive, Etna, California. Mercury is retrograde, nothing's working. I do have a few comments on this. One of them is, I noticed that there's 13 vacation rentals in Scott Valley. To my knowledge, there are not 13 permitted vacation rentals in Scott Valley, so somebody should be looking at that. I used to spend at least 6 months of the year in Hawaii. They have placed a huge moratorium on vacation rental, allowing it only in the vacation rental areas that are specific and not allowing them in others. The greatest thing in this county is there's no oversight and that they allow it to run with the land without making a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to get those old vacation rentals. And I do have a list of them from off the book. That should happen, and that should have been one of the recommendations. Therefore, the person wanting to have a vacation rental wouldn't just pick it up by buying something new, but would have to go through the process again, and you'd have better control over your vacation rental. I feel that either of those two fees would just be a moneymaker for the county, and I'm opposed to either of those. I've been both a renter and have been in rentals. I don't like those ideas. The other thing is, I've heard, but I'm not certain, so take this with a grain of salt, that that moratorium on COVID evictions was taken away July the 1st of this year. I would have to check that. I did not have time to do that. So that is something you should look into. Also, those people that have had people for 6 years, they should look into the possibility of hiring an eviction company. They could Google one online. I saw several. One of them sounded very promising. I know it's a hard thing in either the state of Hawaii or here, where I have an active real estate license in Hawaii, and let my real estate license here go because I thought I was relocating, which I wish I had. Anyhow, yes. And oh, the other thing I wanted to state is that I think in the estimated cost of long-term rentals, those figures are highly understated. And what this report does not take into consideration is the numerous homes that have been lost in the two fires this year, the McKinney fire and the fire down by Weed. So that should be taken into consideration too. All those people are looking for homes. I think that's about all I have to offer. Thank you so very much for the presentation and for the county bringing it forward.
Thank you for your comment.
Any further public comment?
Seeing none online.
So I will close the public hearing, and Rachel, you wanted to run down your checklist of the options that were presented.
Yes, please.
For feedback from us.
Yes. So the first recommendation is the minimum property size, one that removes the requirement that the vacation rental must be located on properties that are 2.5 acres or larger in size. And earlier, I believe that Dusty and Tony both stated that they agreed with that recommendation.
To delete it?
To eliminate that freeze.
To remove that minimum parcel size, correct?
Yeah. I'm in favor of removing that as well.
Yep.
Okay.
At least three of us. The fourth one didn't hear you.
Okay, thanks.
Isn't that right, Commissioner Hart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't hear you.
The second recommendation. The second recommendation is the cap on new permits. It's freeze the issuing of new vacation rental permits if the number of current vacation rental permits is more than 2 times the estimated number of rental vacancies in the unincorporated Siskiyou County at the end of the previous calendar year.
No.
I'm not comfortable with that being applied countywide, and that's why I asked to see what that ratio looks like in the regions that Mr. Cole presented. Perhaps on a regional basis, maybe, but I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, that's kind of number two, too. I agree.
So I'm sorry, I heard Jeff and Dusty both said that no, but perhaps on a regional basis. Commissioner Mello?
I don't want a limit at this point until we get more information. Because once again, and I'm going to state this again, by limiting this, we are also limiting the property owner's rights to do what he believes best to save his property. If it means renting it out so he can afford to move or whatever, because that's what happened in McLeod. People bought these as second homes over there with anticipation of after retiring, moving to the country. And that didn't happen because of a lot of issues going on in our nation right now. But thank you.
Did you have a particular opinion, Commissioner Hart?
I don't like limitations on some property rights, but I can understand like what happened here with that home down in Mount Shasta, where you've got them congested like that. That's not the appropriate place to put it. So there needs to be some more thought about this.
Okay.
It might be.
The next one is the geographic moratorium. Place a moratorium on issuing new vacation rental permits in the unincorporated areas and around Dunsmuir and Mount Shasta and in McLeod. The market dynamics of this region could be monitored annually to determine whether the moratorium should be lifted.
I wasn't in favor of the moratorium in the beginning, still feel that way.
Okay. I'm not even a fan of.
Isn't there basically a moratorium in place already with the
yes.
city of, or
in the town of Cloud and the sphere of influence too,
that's
in a sense, yes.
That's what it does.
And like Rachel said, the sphere of influence is huge. I was on the city council when they brought this up.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, everybody just thought it was the greatest thing since 409. I couldn't believe it. But it was so restrictive and so huge, there is no way that we could provide the necessary thing if we had to.
So to clarify, this is a geographic moratorium that is not specifically based on the parcel size, it's just an overall
right.
geographic moratorium.
Right. But I don't know.
I'm not there.
This no. county, okay, I have to ask, quite, this is kind of off the, out of sync, but, okay, we had the mill fire and a lot of properties were burned, homes,
good.
And Lake Shastina. The tax revenue on those properties until the homes are built goes back to undeveloped, is that correct or not?
Yes, that's correct. They will all be reassessed.
They'll all be reassessed.
Yeah.
So they go back to just undeveloped properties.
Correct.
So we're going to lose all that tax revenue there, too.
Wow. Yes.
Well, you know, you only get about 11% of what they're taxing. So
I understand that, but it's revenue.
I know.
You know, we're broke now. And that's why, you know, these vacation rentals, they may be only a drop in the bucket, but the best way to fill a bucket is a drop at a time, in my opinion. Especially now, we're hurting so bad. Thank you.
Commissioner Bell, did you have an opinion?
My thoughts on the geographic is I'm not a big fan of blanket being imposed by somewhere up above. And if the area of McLeod got their act together and as a community had a vote of all of those within the reach of McLeod, and the overwhelming majority said, yes, we want to impose on ourselves a moratorium, then by all means, McLeod can do that. If all the residences of individuals who live in Scott Valley have a majority vote, say, we don't want any, we want a moratorium in Scott Valley. That's why we have the area plan. If the community wants to impose it on themselves, then by all means, bring that to us. I don't feel right at the county level, whether it's a planning commissioner, I don't feel it's appropriate as a supervisory level, I don't feel it's appropriate at a state or federal level to impose on small geographic regions blanket regulations without they themselves wanting it imposed upon themselves. And I'll leave it at that.
And I want to just add one thing. You've heard me here mention the fact we did not hear one thing from the town of McLeod when this moratorium was being proposed. Nothing. And they have an elected board over there. And I totally concur with what you just said.
But they're a service district.
I understand.
They're not a city, so they don't they can't claim sphere of influence, can they?
No. So, but I'm talking about within their own city. Right. I mean, town.
I know, but so go back to what Jeff just said. You have a specific area plan in Scott Valley that was voted on. Now we're going to go, they want to come and say, hey, we want a moratorium. Well, doesn't that constitute a specific area plan to a very finite point? Shouldn't that go through a full CEQA process? Yes?
I don't know if I'm in favor of CEQA process.
Well, I don't either, but that's where this is going.
Yes, exactly.
That's where it can legally be challenged, what you're doing here.
I understand that.
So
let them challenge us.
But then the county taxpayer would have got to pay the bill.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. All we have to do is deny the what's the term? Counselor, when you don't want to, somebody's going to sue you and you don't want any part of it, what are you telling them? Not nicely now. What's the term? Deny the...
No pretender.
Well, if you want to, if somebody's going to sue you over something you did and you don't, well, you would just rescind whatever you did. Or, I'm not quite sure.
I can't remember this. This happened when I was on the city council. This attorney used this term, and I can't remember.
That's why I'm making the argument about placing the blanket moratorium out there. And if people want to do this, then they need to foot the bill to pay for the proper planning process through the county to do that. Not put it on.
I don't disagree with that, but you know,
The board of supervisors are. I think they would support that position wholeheartedly.
I don't know about the board of supervisors support.
Okay. What's your next one, Rachel?
Implement a license fee.
Number four.
Yep. Implement a licensing and monitoring program funded by an annual fee of around $500 to renew a vacation rental license. The monitoring program would include an annual inspection of the property by county staff.
So isn't there already a application fee on vacation rental use permits?
Yes, it's a one-time fee at the time that they initially apply for the project. However, use permits are land use permits, and
correct,
they run with the land. Once you apply and have been issued the permit, it can't be rescinded unless it goes through the process that was mentioned earlier.
So this would introduce a new annual fee for vacation rental use permits. That money, legally, counselor, could be protected from county general funds to specifically employ an individual?
Yes, it can. It can be specifically, it's enacted, dedicated to a specific fund.
Where did the $500 fee figure come from? How did you calculate that?
The dollar amount?
Yes.
That's just based on similar fees that are in place across the state. You know, it could be, you know, lower or higher than that. It's also looking at just the cost of annual monitoring to ensure that the property is in compliance with the use permit.
What that fee then is what it's going to cost the county employee to monitor that specific site.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you really want to go out and check the house again every year? Is that?
Absolutely.
Well, see, and that's the thing, because when we're talking, what I could see is we do have some that have spa or pool that are associated with the property, but not allowed to be used by renters. We've had several that part of the conditions is meeting the CAL FIRE regs of the defensible space that are in areas where, yeah, you need to do annual inspection to make sure that fuel load and whatnot has not grown to a point where it is now a safety concern. Honestly, I can't believe we haven't been doing annual inspections of the use permits anyways. We do annual inspections of all the gravel pits, etc. Why the heck haven't we been doing it with vacation rentals?
Well, it's going to be passed on to the renter, so it isn't as though.
Through the chair.
Yes.
For this recommendation, just for some like additional context, how other local jurisdictions handle these annual monitoring processes. A lot of these are beneficial because there are a lot of issues with, a property, or let's say something was missed in the conditions, or let's say, a local jurisdiction wants to look at the state of the structure or the building. Or see if the conditions are still being implemented.
Question for staff. With potential addition of doing 151 site verifications of existing use permits here, could that workload be handled with the current three, or would staff recommend we need 3.5, 3.25, we need a full, one more complete unit? And if so, what is the cost of that employee unit annual? And be sure, as Commissioner Hart said, factor in, if not available, are we going to have to find another set of wheels for the individual to properly perform those duties? So that, and then once I think I hear what Commissioner Hart is saying, and I agree, you come back with what that cost is, we divide that by 151, that's what our annual fee
should be. It may be less. I don't know what it is.
It may be 320, it may be 700, it may be 1,000. Let us know what that is before we, as Mr. Dean said, we're placing a mandate that is not funded. Let's make sure we're passing something that is going to be funded.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anything else on the 500, Mr. Hart? Okay, next, Rachel.
All right, so the next one is the one that Mr. Dean was mentioning, to implement a $20 per night flat fee lodger's tax that would be paid by vacation rental guest to the vacation rental owner. Who then obviously would pass that on to the county. This generated revenue would fund the development of affordable rental housing in the unincorporated county.
Does this violate Proposition 18?
I don't know. Ms. Langs is a lot of counties.
Okay. I get that a lot of counties do it. Here's my question. Are y'all looking at this as the county owns 20 acres and the county is going to take it upon themselves to improve that 20 acres and build low-income affordable housing units, and the county is going to supervise this. Does the county really want this addition on their plate? Or are we talking county would offer potential grants, loan money at a lower interest rate to existing landowners to build said structure, and they would be committing to long-term renting that facility?
Sure, so it would look different up here considering Siskiyou County, we don't have an established housing authority.
Correct.
And most counties, even other rural counties in California, right, there's an established housing authority that, you know, administers and manages these types of programs and policies such as inclusionary housing for a certain city. So I don't have, you know, an answer for you, but it would have to look something creative like the, you know, things you just
I would add that, you know, the concept would be to loan it to developers who then would take on the responsibility of developing the housing. There would be certain conditions set by the loan terms and by a regulatory agreement that's recorded on the developer's property that they have to rent to certain income levels and at certain rent levels, which is typically done by counties and cities. They're not typically in the business of developing the housing themselves and taking on all the admin overhead of that. They will loan the funds with the conditions and have that memorialized in loan documents and have that developer build those. And there are, you know, plenty of affordable housing developers that, you know, can take that on. Now, the county may assist by making county, you know, excess land available or so on, but the idea is to loan the funds and have the developers take responsibility for building those units.
Would those funds be available for incorporated areas, say City of Yreka or the City of Mount Shasta, the City of Weed, City of Etna, and funds would be available for them if they have a lot that, hey, it's been vacant and they have somebody interested, a developer that wants to come in, would those funds, that could you foresee a cooperation within incorporated? So we're not doing the low income, affordable, quote unquote, housing in unincorporated.
Right, and Bill could maybe correct me, but I believe in that hypothetical situation, the incorporated city or the unincorporated county would have to have like mirrored inclusionary housing.
Okay.
You know, it would have to be symbiotic.
Okay.
And approved upon for that, I think, to work out.
Okay.
I have.
Can I add something real quick? So, working with Mr. Coles on this housing element, trying to identify sites within the unincorporated area of the county for higher density residential zoning for affordable housing, which is something that we will be presenting you once that gets to you guys. But the problem that we're having is that higher density housing requires that it be connected to a sewer or water system, not on well and septic. So areas within the county that have water and sewer services are limited to the CSDs, such as Lake Chestina and the McLeod area. So for affordable housing to be developed that is a higher density, it would have to be located on areas that do have the well and septic, or sorry, well and sewer systems already in place.
Which are very deep. So getting back to the $20, what?
I've got a question first. On Foothill, and there's some construction going on, looks like apartments. What are those?
So those are a project that our, I believe our Human Services Department is working with the City of Yreka on as far as, it's, I believe, 52 unit housing, and it is affordable housing. It has specific limitations that I'm not completely up
to. No, that's fine. I was just curious if that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a halfway house.
Because it's rather large.
Yeah, it's, I believe, 52 units, somewhere around there.
It's 49.
49. I think Mr. Coles actually worked with them on that.
Thank you.
Okay, so the question was from Rachel, the 20 per night idea.
Yeah, I'm totally in the dark on
this. I don't like this whole thing. I just think if you charge something for to rent the place, you don't move it over here for affordable housing.
Either you,
it's a proposition.
Either you have a TOT or you have the lodge fee. You don't do both.
That's it.
And so if you're not happy with the TOT and revenue, then increase the TOT. Don't slap on an additional fee.
Right.
I hear you on that.
So if I can interject on that, the reason that we proposed this and the $20 fee specifically is that the complaint that we hear most often in our department is that they're taking away housing and that there's no place for their employees to live because everything is too expensive that's left. This fee was intended to offset the impact that specifically vacation rentals have in their communities in order to help the people that need to have housing in order to support the tourism that these vacation rentals generate. So the only thing that we can think of that wouldn't get allocated to some other fund without, you know, the original intent, like TOT can go to almost anything. This is specific to affordable housing to offset the specific impact that vacation rentals have. And the $20 fee, when we discussed it, was not felt it was too onerous for a renter to make or break a decision as to whether or not it was going to have them say, no, that's too expensive now because of that $20 per night.
Counselor, what is current TOT percent?
I don't know what our TOT percent is.
Rachel, does anybody know what the current TOT
for Puerto Rico is? 10%.
10%.
Is it 10 here? I think it's 8 in Mount Shasta.
Okay, so it, obviously it varies within municipality.
Yes.
But the TOT that's being assessed on vacation rentals in unincorporated areas, is that 10, 12?
It's somewhere in that range, yes. I don't know a specific percentage.
So, Councilor, let's just say it's 10%. That revenue goes to the general fund of the county, correct?
Yeah.
So, is there a mechanism where if a recommendation came through here, is it feasible, possible, doable to raise TOT to 15% with an asterisk that one third of the collected, 33 1/3% of collected TOT goes to a fund for affordable housing, not to general fund?
It is possible that the board can do that.
Okay.
The thing, getting back to, but there's really no audit for your TOT, is there? You don't, you take the renter, I mean the landowner's word that you are have rented it for so many days and turn that fee over to you, correct? There's no way you know exactly. It's not like sales tax, which you have to.
Right, so we actually have agreements with the major booking agencies where if a vacation rental is booked through, for example, Airbnb or VRBO, they quarterly, I believe is the frequency, they quarterly send taxes directly from the booking agent to the county, and they do not tell us who it's specifically for.
Right.
It's
right.
So it could be an unregistered vacation rental, but it's quarterly, I believe, that they send us. And then if somebody books a rental not through that same process, they are responsible for those fees. So I don't know if you remember, we had a gentleman on Circle 7. He booked both ways. And so he kept very, and he showed us these records. He showed us, you know, bookings that were through the agencies that directly send the TOT. He did not count. And then he sent a secondary check to make up the difference of what was not already collected. So that's how they usually do it. And I believe I said quarterly.
Because I know Wairika takes the word of the motel that they've collected the TOT tax and say, okay, thank you very much. That's so many. They have no way of knowing.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with how the hotels do it.
With that. So you're taking the...
Well, that's the way it is in Mount Castle. You know, I'm talking about when I was on the city council. Then the Visitors Bureau came to the city and wanted a portion of that TOT to fund their Visitor Bureau. And I don't remember.
But even if we even if $20 per night was slapped on there, you're back in the same boat. You're up to whether or not they...
That's right.
They paid or not. Whether it's DOT or a lodge fee, you're in the same boat.
It's right. the same thing. I agree.
And through the chair, I can tell you that the most recent increase in TOT had quite opposition to it, so I'm not sure that proposing an additional increase to that TOT would actually get approved.
I just looked up on the treasurer's website since you asked, it's a 12% TOT.
It's currently 12%.
Wow.
For unincorporated vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we're looking at the treasurer tax collector says.
Good.
So how much money are we talking about is this going to generate for future development?
Well, at the $20 per night based on the use, Mr. Cole said $500,000 a year on average, $543,600 per year.
Does that not have to go to the voter to increase that?
To increase the TOT?
Yeah.
I know it did go to the voter. Did go to the voters. I believe it does. Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. So wouldn't this have to go to the voter?
Well, that's a question for council.
The lodgers,
I mean, wouldn't a lodge fee have?
I guess when you use the word tax or fee, I guess from what you were asking about, I think the real property tax propositions. From what I can see, it would probably be considered more a use tax than a direct real property tax. I don't think it's limited in that way.
But if it's a fee, it's passed on to the customer.
That's right. Right. And not only that, it doesn't have to go to the voters either if it's a fee.
Right.
If it's a tax, it has to go to vote.
It should be like as treated as with the TOT. It should go to the voters. I feel I would want to double check on that. I know for a fact that TOT goes to the voters. I think the lodge tax would as well on the same principle. But
we'll kill it.
I'm only 99%.
State agencies can levy fees left and right with no tomorrow without going to a vote.
Yeah, right. And so does our county level
statements. That's how they got around the tax thing.
Okay, you got input on that one. What's your next one?
That's it.
So I'm still not totally clear if you guys are for that one or not. It sounds like you would rather have it be an increase to the TOT with a specific fund set aside for affordable housing. Is that correct?
I was merely asking pathways. I'm not sure I'm convinced of one or the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we can't gather as much information as possible. And
why don't you run up with the Board of Supervisors and then let us know?
There you go. Don't waste our time. Because they're going to have the ultimate decision what happens here.
Correct. This is just a recommendation from you
right.
guys. And that actually was the last recommendation.
Okay.
Well, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They don't want... They're getting yelled and screamed at about affordable housing. We don't have it. Yet, people don't want to do the long-term rentals because they can't get people out who don't pay their bills.
Right, and that was
wow.
Right. That's why we were proposing something that would offset the issue.
Yeah, wow.
I get the reason why. I'd like some more information on that and certain pathways of what potentially could be generated. Okay. Anyone else up here have anything on this topic?
All I want to say is I'm really concerned about our county and its debt. We are pretty bad, and I'm trying personally to come up with something to help fund things. And I want the money to stay here, not go to somewhere else. That's a big agreement.
Anything else on the housing?
No, sir.
All right. So, staff, you have your marching orders. And we are going to take a 5-minute, 12-second break.